Hello at Marketing for Changemakers, the podcast for all social entrepreneurs who want to learn how to become successful in marketing and at the same time be transparent, honest, and sustainable. You want to have an impact and change the world with your business? Everyone should learn about your project. With Marketing for Changemakers, I will support you in all these questions. I will provide you with a lot of tips, insights, and ideas and show you how to create a successful marketing strategy that fits your sustainable business. My name is Zina, and I'm happy that you will listen to my podcast. Thank you so much. Hey, Monisha, I'm very glad that you're in my episode, in my podcast today, and that we're having an expert on content marketing, and you will give us some tips and advice on how to use content marketing as a purpose-driven business. But before we get started, I would love to hear a little bit more about you, about your personal background, about your business background. It would be great if you can share some infos.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm a content marketing strategist, and I've been in this space for the last 3 to 4 years now. So I used to do like digital media production, so creating marketing materials for the web. And then I moved into strategy after that. I also am especially excited to be here on Marketing for Changemakers because I also run a nonprofit organization based in Thailand. So I do social impact work myself. The nonprofit is called Rom Choi, and we're focused on interpersonal violence prevention. So that's a little bit about what I do. I kind of have two lives, I like to say.
Great. Since when are you in content marketing, and since when are you working with purpose-driven brands?
So I've been in content marketing since 2015. So it's been about nearly 3 to 4 years now. And then with purpose-driven brands, I've really started to do that more in the last year. Since starting my own nonprofit as well, it's given me a lot of insight when I was applying all the marketing knowledge to that business, to that enterprise as well. So I realized that there's some differences in the challenges that we face in our marketing. And so that's when I really started to help other purpose-driven brands as well.
Great. Sounds like an amazing way you took. So do you, when it comes to your clients, do you consult them as well, or do you do the content marketing for them, or do you do both?
So right now, actually, it's a really fun time for me because I just restructured how I do my content marketing services based on what I've noticed that my clients need the most. So now what I do is I run virtual workshops with my clients. So I have a couple different programs where I'll help them either with their strategy through like one workshop, 3 workshops, or 5 workshops, mm-hmm. depending on whatever their needs are. And I'll take them through fun, collaborative, and interactive activities. So that we get like either a strategy for their content and their marketing or a strategy for their production plan. So like their execution or implementation of that marketing.
Okay. And those workshops you're running, how many people participate in it? Is it just one brand at a time, or is it multiple brands that interacting together?
Usually, so it'll be for a brand, and I'll like take them through the process of developing their strategy. So I've had like just founders on the call, or if they have a small team, it'll be 1, 2, or 3 people who we run these workshops with.
Yeah. Great. And your clients, are they from around the world, or do you specifically?
It's all remote. So it's all from people around the world. It's all virtual.
Cool.
So it's been really nice in that way.
Okay. It sounds like you already gathered a lot of experiences when it comes to content marketing, and especially with purpose-driven mm-hmm. brands. So maybe you can give us a little bit more insights of different ways how purpose-driven brands can use content marketing and how they can be successful in it.
Yeah. So the reason I like content marketing is because it's the form of marketing where you're actually adding value to the lives of people through the content you create, right? So what content marketing looks like could be anything from like creating blog posts for your website or video content or ebooks or anything that you put online could be part of your content marketing. Usually it's to drive traffic to your website or to drive people to like get to know you better and like build a relationship with your audience. And it's not necessarily about, you know, how we see in like old school advertising where we're putting up like get this or do that or like kind of that marketing that screams at you. Mm. Content marketing is more about adding value, and it's more about meeting people where they are in their journey with you. right? So meeting people when they realize they have a problem and like you solve that problem for them through whatever you write or whatever you create. So the reason I think that's great for purpose-driven brands is because it helps us showcase our knowledge of the subject matter that we deal with or the social issue that we deal with. Yeah. And we actually have an opportunity to help people through our content marketing as well, right? So I think that's one of the reasons that purpose-driven brands in particular should consider content marketing. Yes. So to make that more tangible, I can sort of give an example for how I do that for my nonprofit, if that would help.
That would help for sure. That would be great.
Yeah. So my nonprofit is focused on interpersonal violence prevention, which is looking at right now, particularly intimate partner violence. And like, it's a very sensitive subject and can be really hard to talk about. So what we've done is we create content that we put up on our website and that we have in within our email list. And we share people more educational materials in really accessible way that's sensitive to our culture. So we put up content to help clarify all the myths around like interpersonal violence, to help educate people on like what the solution is. And so that really helps not just like engage our community, but we're also adding value. We're helping them understand something a little bit better. So it's not just, hey, look at our programs. My nonprofit runs workshops. We run these workshops, refer us to your school or whatever it is. We're also going, here's what you need to know about this issue. And that's all part of our marketing as well.
Great. So yeah. I have one question. Maybe you can give some advice on the topic. How can I balance adding value? Because you just mentioned that content marketing is a great tool to add value and it's all about adding value to your customer. But how can I balance adding value and performing well in SEO marketing? So using keywords and all the things that are important for SEO marketing. So how can I balance it? And also, if I, for example, run workshops, sell products and things like this, how can I integrate my offers or how can I balance those three aspects?
So balancing, adding value, promoting your services, and then also the piece about SEO?
Yes.
So first, I think the piece about SEO is like we've seen, and I think this is what gets a little bit confusing when we talk about content marketing sometimes, like lots of websites will just like write a bunch of content or put up a bunch of posts just to rank. But I think the idea is that you don't want to forget that people are reading your content, right? So I write for humans because I'm trying to reach people. So of course you'd work in your chosen keyword and you would do that. But I think also with SEO has changed just a little bit. Like, you know, the algorithm, we don't know actually what dictates the Google algorithm, but we do know that the more, like the lengthier the content and the more useful it is and the more people click through and stay on your page, then you'll likely do better, right? But SEO is a whole nother piece. But the idea is that if you're creating content that's written in a way that people would search for it, so using human language, terms they would look up, and working that into what you are writing about, and so really knowing like, what would they Google if they were trying to understand this problem? Like, For my nonprofit, I know a lot of people Google like, is consent something that we can, how do we practice it, right? So I know that that's something that people who are interested in my subject, interested in prevention, might look up. Mm-hmm. And so I would write about that in a way, in the language that they would also use to look that up. And then, of course, the piece primarily, I think, would be geared towards like education or providing some thought leadership or sharing real stories about real people to add value. That's what I mean by the add value piece. And then, of course, you can end it with the classic marketing call to action, which is telling them what to do after they've read or consumed your content in some way, right? So like, if you like this, like you can check out my program if you want more. If you like this, you can book a workshop with us and we can talk about this with your school or book my services. You know what I mean? So yes. Like weaving that in, but really kind of working that into your message.
Okay. And when it comes to the offers or your products, your services you want to sell, I think I heard it a while ago. Someone told me that you should 80% adding value and 20% selling your own product in your content marketing. Is this a number that is right or what could you advise?
So I would say, I wouldn't put it in any sort of percentage. What I would do is I would definitely say, yes, it's predominantly adding value. So that the split I agree with. I would say it's about considering how you're going to be meeting people's needs. So knowing where your audience is, for example, with your social issue or with your social enterprise, like, are people new to what you're talking about? Are you working with people who are more advanced or who know more about what you're doing? And really speaking to them, I think that's kind of more, if you know what they need and you speak to that, it'll be more effective. And so if you know they're at the point where they're ready to buy, then you could talk more about that because that's what they need. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what do you think when it comes to purpose-driven brands and normal brands or businesses, are there any differences in content marketing? Like things purpose-driven brands, social businesses should be aware of that is different to, let's say, classical businesses?
I think that there's a lot of overlap, but I have noticed some challenges when you get onto the market as a social enterprise or a nonprofit. I've noticed the challenges that I face, one in particular, before I even get into just the specific marketing challenges, one in particular is right now, there is such a trend towards socially conscious and ethical businesses that so many people are using this. And sometimes even large brands will have this as part of their marketing message as a unique selling point or differentiating factor. And I've noticed that in just talking to people, that may not be enough because there's a trust issue if everyone's doing it. And then how are they doing it? Are they actually following through? Are they actually ethical? You know, the problem of, I think it's called greenwashing, right? Where everyone does that. So the challenge is now, like, you have to also back up your claims. If you are a social enterprise doing good and you're for profit, you really need to show that social impact is equally as part of your mission. If you're a nonprofit, you have to build trust in the sense that what you will do with those funds will go to the right places for people, or that you will actually have an impact that people can see or measure. Mm-hmm. So I think the challenge is building trust, which a lot of brands have, but especially when it comes to social good and the issue that greenwashing exists in our world by some brands, we have a challenge to really build trust, you know?
Yeah. And besides this challenge you just mentioned, do you see any other challenges, especially purpose-driven businesses are focusing?
So I think the couple of things that I've noticed in working with purpose-driven brands or talking to people about it, and also in my own experience, is we have a couple challenges where, one, we're speaking to multiple audiences usually. I'll break each of these down, but I'll introduce the three first. So it's like we're speaking to multiple audiences, which makes it harder for us to use one message for marketing. A lot of nonprofits, and I know this comes from a budget standpoint as well, don't invest in their marketing strategy up front. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's really important to do. And then the third piece is like breaking down like complicated like social issues or social ideas in a really accessible way for people has been, I think, a challenge that I've tried to help my clients address in their marketing messaging. So I'll start with the first one. What I mean by when we speak to multiple audiences is when you are a social enterprise or you are a nonprofit or a purpose-driven brand of some sort, you usually have the people that you're helping, the people that your organization is designed to support or serve, the people you need support from to do that. So people you're selling your products to or people who are donating, and then you're taking, for example, that money to give to the people you serve, that's already two audiences, right?
Yeah.
And then there's also the third piece. If you are, for example, looking for people to work with you, like volunteers or supporters of a different, who maybe not giving money support, but giving other ways of support. So that's already three audiences easily. Like for my nonprofit, I have volunteer facilitators. I have the audience that I do the workshops for, and then I have the donors or the supporters for my organization, right? And so we can't necessarily use the same, we can use the same fundamental mission or cause to speak to everybody, but each of those audiences or those audience segments have different needs or reasons that they would engage with you, right? So the volunteer won't be benefiting or coming to my program for the same reason as the person who I'm teaching in my workshops for, right? Like everyone has different needs, and the donor might support it different for different reasons than the volunteer would. So I need to know these things, and I need to be able to segment my marketing message to speak to each of these people. So we need to kind of adapt it. And that kind of fits the trend that marketing has been going to from like mass marketing, one message to the masses, to really targeted marketing, now that we have the internet as a great tool to give people exactly what they want to hear.
Do you develop different strategies for all those, let's say, for example, three audiences, when it's three or when it's more than more, but do you have different strategies?
So it all fits into one. So it's one strategy, right? Like one overall strategy. And then I just know, like, to speak to, so for example, my workshops, I speak to parents, I speak to students, I speak to potential volunteers. So I know when I speak to parents, I'm going to speak to them on a level of what their concerns are. Then I'm going to speak to students on a level of what their concerns are. So it's all fundamentally related to your core mission, but it'll be like, okay, parents are more concerned about the safety of their child. The child is concerned about the health of their relationships. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And do you also analyze maybe like different channels that might fit to like the different audience? Let's say, for example, your volunteers are all around like 18 to 25 years old, but your donors are mostly CEOs, business owners that are over 40 or over 50, let's say. And maybe they are more active on Twitter, but your volunteers are more active on Instagram. Would you then consider doing Instagram mainly for this one audience and doing, for example, Twitter mainly for the other audience?
Yes, exactly. So I noticed that most of my students, they're teenagers to like they're between the age of 14 and 23. They're mostly on Instagram. So my content on Instagram is geared to people who I know have gone through my workshops and I know want to continue the conversation on that topic. For my potential donors, I actually do a lot of in-person because they're not online because they're a lot 50, 60 plus. So some of them are online. They're definitely there on Facebook, I think. But mostly I do a lot of in-person speaking and in-person events to reach them. And then, of course, the volunteers are more kind of that 20 to 30 bracket. So some of them on Instagram, some of them are on Facebook. Some of them are happy just to text. Actually, in Thailand, where my nonprofit is based, texting is huge online. So that's some way also that we know we have to reach people through direct message. So yes, definitely knowing where to reach people is part of segmenting your audience. Knowing what to say to them and what each of their needs are is part of that strategy, right? To make sure that people see why what you're doing relates to them and how it helps their lives.
Okay, great. So maybe we can go back to the challenge topic because we were now talking about this one challenge.
the other two. So I think the other thing is like, it relates to this where it's like, I've seen a lot of purpose-driven or nonprofit brands not invest in their marketing messaging or overall strategy. And like I was saying before, some of it comes from budget. But something that I believe is that if you're going to be developing, especially, I know some people listening to this might be just starting out. So especially if you're developing a new social enterprise venture or a new purpose-driven venture, you want to consider your marketing messaging from the beginning and roll that into what you offer. So how you position your service, how you're going to talk about your service. Something I tell all my clients is that there's Marty Neumeier. He wrote the book, The Brand Gap, and he likes to say that your brand is not what you say you are, but it's the gut feeling that people the gut feeling that people have about your brand. Your brand is what they say you are, right? So as soon as you put yourself out there and you start talking and you start doing things, interacting with people, people are already getting a sense of your marketing, who you are and what you're doing, right? And this all starts from just how you act and how you, what you put up online, the words you use, what you write about. So investing in a strategy up front is really important because then you're starting to control kind of that message of how you do want to be perceived. And there's only so much you can do, but it allows you to be intentional from the very beginning. And I think especially with social issues. So taking my social issue as an example, interpersonal violence is a really big and hard to tackle, sometimes nebulous topic, right? So it's like, how do I talk about that really clearly with people so they know what they're supporting? Well, I needed to have a strategy. So what we did was I was like, okay, I can say that we're anti-violence and we don't want people to have like intimate partner violence or that thing, but really what are we doing for people? Well, what I'm actually doing for people is helping them have healthier relationships and safer communities. So if you go to my nonprofit's website, for example, Room Choi, the first thing you see is sparking conversations on healthy relationships in Thailand. And that's something that really, I have been told, draws people in, because a lot of times I know from having studied my subject that people are alienated by, like, oh, okay, interpersonal violence. Does that mean you're saying these people are bad or these people are doing this? There's a lot of controversy around the issue, right? But I had a strategy and I already had the insight into my audience. I did the research to know, okay, this is how people perceive the topic. How do I really communicate what I actually mean? And that's the importance of having that there and us positioning it as like, hey, we're sparking conversations on healthy relationships. It's something that people really got behind. Whereas had we gone the route of saying intimate partner violence or even sexual violence, that's a taboo subject in my community. So that would have been much harder for us to break in with that. Mm. So really learning how to frame your messaging is important from the very beginning.
Okay. So yeah, you just said having a messaging strategy is very important. Can you give some tips how to build this strategy, and especially purpose-driven businesses, social businesses, and NGOs in the beginning or sometimes also later on don't have that much money? So maybe you can also give some advice on how you can build a strategy on a budget.
Yes, for sure. So that is something I definitely did our strategy very lean, like very much like, because it also adapts over time. But when you're starting, I think I could just give a couple key questions to maybe sit and answer, like answering, like thinking about, okay, who do we serve? What are their needs? And first knowing that, because it's all about the people at the end of the day, right? It's people first. And then thinking about the feeling you want people to have after they've interacted with you, the voice you want to use, how do you want to sound? And then thinking about the culture you want to create. That's a big one, right? Like, do you want to be a really serious company or do you want to be a really playful and fun company? I think it's looking at the feeling sides of your marketing and how you want to sound and how you want to look and how you want to feel. And really working that into your language. Because if you can answer the question, do I want to sound serious? Do I want to sound conversational? Then you'll write your content differently based on that. So it's that asking, like, who you're serving, what do they need? How do you want people to feel after they've worked with you? How do you want to sound? And what kind of culture do you want to have? And then there's also a lot of resources like you could Google online, right? Like basic marketing positioning, marketing strategy, using these terms and trying to hack something together. But really it's about answering those five things and knowing what you want people to feel when they read your content. Do you want them to feel helped? Do you want them to have learned something new?
And are there any specific tools you use when, like, to bring the strategy to practice? Do you have templates or maybe a content calendar, something that helps you?
I have tools and things I use with my clients, and actually I will have something up on my website in a couple of weeks. but in the meantime, I think there's some great resources. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, what resources do I usually turn to? I'm a voracious reader, so I'll read a lot of books. And I really recommend, if you're interested in marketing, Seth Godin is a great person to read, very big in the space, but he helps you think through some stuff. and also ask really good questions. But in terms of like tools and what you do, I'm workflow first. So I like to say, like, tell me how you work and what you're doing, and here are the tools that are best for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know that's a very vague answer, but I'm a strategist. That's what we do, right? We like go, what do you actually do? And then tailor it to your needs. So it's very hard to generalize. I think the third thing I was saying was that we are kind of sometimes need to be more specific and communicating your impact or message, communicating the impact you're having is sometimes a challenge when you're just starting out. So knowing what metrics to share with people, knowing to show how you're making a social impact is also something that I see as a challenge, but a challenge that if you work through, you will do great. Because if you're able to show data wherever possible, use metrics to quantify your impact and then share the stories behind that, that's something that will really help. And I'll see organizations doing great work and they won't be showing that to people. They won't be putting that up there because maybe they didn't collect that data from the beginning, or maybe they didn't collect those stories. And I think that that's something that we should do as well from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's all about transparency and being authentic. And this is definitely one point that goes into this area. Do you also have some books or podcasts you personally listen to or read that are about content marketing that helped you a lot?
Right now, I'm actually listening to, I really like the Giving Back podcast by Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
It's really great for people who are interested in hearing all the different types of stories about social impact and different types of social issues. So it's not marketing driven like this one. It's more about social impact and like the different types of organizations people run. And that's super inspiring because you'll hear people outside your domain. So I got, when you listen to that, it's fun because I hear people who are doing different causes than I am. I actually also just spoke to Rob, the person who did that. I was just also interviewed for it and it was just such a good time. So I know he's doing some great work and has some great insight there. And then the other podcast that I've been listening to lately, more because I'm into personal development, is like Michael Gervais' podcast on mastery.
Mm-hmm.
Also lots of great in-depth interviews, and that's just on like how to get better at your craft and what you do. And that's just something I've personally been enjoying as well.
Great. Thank you very much for sharing. I will, of course, tag it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And do you also have some examples of brands or businesses that do really, really good content marketing, so that people that are listening to this podcast episode right now can maybe go there and check out what they do?
Oh yeah, there are so many because I follow so many, but I'm like totally blanking. I am totally blanking right now. This is like something I am always looking at, different inspiration and different things. Maybe I'll send you a couple links and you can add it for everyone.
Of course. No, so we can do it definitely that way. No
but
problem.
I have so many because I'm always looking at like organizations that do great stuff. So
yeah. Oh, send me some links if some come to your mind, and I will just put them in the show notes as well. No problem. Totally. And in the end of each episode, I like to ask about a call to action, something that the listeners can implement directly mm-hmm. afterwards. Do you have something on your mind that you can share?
Yes. I think what you should do if you're trying to do marketing and you're trying to do a social impact issue, one thing that you can do is speak to people in your desired audience, in your target audience. Maybe the first thing you do is speak to 3 different people and really just listen to them talk about your issue, because you'll find that if you've been in it for a while and you've been in your social issue for a while, you'll know it in a way where you're using jargon, you're using terms that you're very familiar with because you're in it. But if you listen to other people talk about your issue and just take the time to pick up the call and ask someone, hey, can I just chat with you about this, and ask open-ended questions, you'll learn so much that you can use when you're trying to generate ideas for what to talk about in your content marketing, because you'll hear what people know and what people want to learn more about, and then that's what you can write about. So my tip is to get on the phone with 3 people and learn about what they know about your issue.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah. And thank you so much for being in this episode today. It was so much fun to talk to you, and I learned a lot from your advices and from your tips. So thanks a lot. And if you have any final words, final advice, final tips, something you want to share in the end, so feel free to share.
I mean, I think just really remembering that like marketing your work doesn't have to feel salesy, and it's just really about, you know, adding value to the lives of the people that you're helping, educating people on what you do, and like inspiring people too, because we're doing social causes that matter. And it'll really, if people see you do it, maybe they'll want to do it too. Also, if you want to connect with me, like you can find me on my website on LinkedIn or on Instagram as well. I'm sure you'll put the links up, but
yeah, I will.
It's monishabajaj.co for all of it. Just my name.co. Yeah.
I will link everything in the show notes.
Yeah.
And to all the listeners that were listening today, thank you very much for listening to Marketing for Changemakers. I hope you learned a lot. And I'm looking forward to everyone who will tune in to the next episode. And if you have any questions in between concerning me or concerning Monisha, feel free to ask me, to write me. And I wish you an awesome day.